Hi there, I am Scott.
And I am Daniel. Why are we speaking so deliberately?
I just think that it's important that our listeners understand so that we enunciate clearly the entire podcast like this.
In a world where podcasters enunciate too much.
In a world. You know, this particular episode of our show,
yes,
brings us into the double digits, Daniel.
We're ten.
Can you say ten?
Ten ice cream cakes. You know, that oftentimes was Jim Henson.
Who?
The one that fell down the stairs. Well, first of all, are you talking about the Sesame Street where they do the numbers for the songs for the numbers?
No, I was just making something up off the top of my bald,
ten,
fat head.
Ten, ten, let's sing a song of ten. And anyway, but what would happen is in this little clip on Sesame Street is...
Does that count as a song, by the way?
I don't know. But they would count up, you know, it's like one, two, three, four, yes, five, six, and then they'd stop on whatever number they were singing about.
Yes.
And at the end of each one of those little vignettes...
Yes.
I think they're called vignettes. Are they called vignettes? Little video vignettes? Anyway, at the end of each one of those, there would be a chef that would have something like, you know, six pastry cakes or something like that. And he'd be at the top of stairs and he would fall down the stairs and the cakes would go everywhere. And so that was Jim Henson. So just thought I'd...
I'm sorry, I dozed off. Well, what you were saying, what?
There was Jim Henson fell down the stairs. It was very funny. Thank you for listening. And congratulations on making it 10 episodes, Scott.
Can you believe it?
I know.
Can you believe it? Daniel, we're 10. I'm very excited about it.
Remember how young and naive we were back at 2?
I know.
The terrible 2s.
We've learned so much since then. How are you feeling today, Daniel?
I'm a bit phlegmy, but other than that, I'm feeling great.
Does that mean you're from Flemish, Flemland?
From Flemland? No, we had I don't want to call it a dinner party because you don't have dinner parties nowadays. We had a couple that we do things with. They came over the other night for dinner.
Did you wear masks?
No, because they work from home, we work from home, and they're kind of like in our little bubble. We do things with them often. So they came. Jason.
Is your bubble really little?
Well, it's gotten bigger as I've gotten older, you know, as I've let it go.
It's an average bubble.
But the Jason, his birthday is coming up. So I made steaks and whatnot for the birthday. Anyway, so Zach made a cheesecake.
Oh, how wonderful is that of Zach?
And like an idiot, moments before I sat my ample ass down to record this episode.
You can't have an ample ass when I have an ample ass.
I decided.
We can compare asses.
To have some cheesecake. So you and I have been talking for the last 5 or 6 minutes and I've just been like coughing and it's not...
Yeah, you've been hacking up a lung.
Yeah, it's not a...
I was worried it might be the COVID. Oh my God, it's the COVID.
Well, it's not a COVID flavored cheesecake. No, it was a strawberry kiwis cheesecake. But the point is you shouldn't eat cheesecake before you start to talk because it gets into very flummy. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Being a voice person, I knew the things to avoid before recording and
so
high
on
the
your
list.
On your suggestion, I am drinking a nice ice cold glass of milk. So
good. That will help.
Well, we're keto, so everything here is full fat, yes. So
yes, that's right. That's true. Maybe it's cream.
Yeah, it is. It's heavy cream. I'm having a delicious glass of heavy
cream. Yeah, so what else? Uh-oh, you're coughing. Okay, coughing with the cough button.
What else? Happy birthday to Howard, your dog Howard.
Yes, he also turned 10. Isn't that interesting? And he turned 10. We kind of gave him a birthday because we don't know for sure when he was officially whelped. As he was a rescue from a high kill shelter. Isn't that nice? These yuppie fucktards wanted a puppy and a cute Weimaraner puppy. Let's get... So they got Howard from whomever they got Howard from. This exceptional... He really... I'm hope that Eunice isn't listening back there. But Howard is the most exceptional dog I have ever been around, and I've been around some dogs.
I've met Howard.
Some. Yeah, I know. And he's unreal. Anyway, these yuppies adopted him and then, or bought him or whatever, and then decided, you know, this is just too much work. So they took him to a shelter and dropped him off. We don't want this puppy. Aww. And it was a high kill shelter. He always says he was walking the Green Mile. Howard was walking the Green Mile. Like, says it with a German accent, though. I walked the Green Mile, seriously. I was so scared. I shivved a beagle just to get some food stuff. I had to shiv my way to get dinner. So, anyway, we were notified by our Weimaraner rescue people that this baby was available, and we grabbed him. And it was 10 years ago, and we decided to make it September 6th his birthday, because on a little bit of a sad note, our first baby, who was Hooney, mm-hmm. was a Weimaraner as well. She died on the 6th of September, or we were forced to create the circumstances by which she died, on September the 6th. And so we decided to happy up that date a little bit by making it Howard's birthday. So September the 6th, Howard, much like our very own podcast, Daniel,
is 10.
10.
We
10.
Planned it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
We did.
We planned it that way because we're those kind of people. So we started to talk about cats and dogs on the last show.
Yeah.
And I've had some thoughts about that over I'm curious because you have had a lot of Weimaraner. Have you always had Weimaraners? Like, are you like, question number one, have you always had that breed of dog? Question number two, what is it about that breed of dog that makes them your preferred dog?
The answer to your first question is no. All of my dogs in the past have been mutts. I was watching, so let's see, how long ago was it? I don't know, 10 years before 2008.
10, let's sing a song of 10. Oh,
I got to do about 6 songs before this episode ends. I mean, I could say I'm letting you win.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I just feel bad for you, so I'm letting you win, and thank we're you. 10 and everything. Yeah. Like, that's going to happen. Anyway, a million years ago, and this is an interesting tie-in, and I am deadly serious.
Okay.
I was flipping through the channels of the television 100 years ago when I had a remote and we had regular TV, and I would flip through all of the channels.
Was it the remote that made the little...
Yes. And you had to hold it like 3 feet from the TV.
It did a little sound. Oh, the one my grandmother's had a cord.
Oh.
So you had a really long cord on it, so you could sit across.
No,
the room.
Daniel, no. This was a modern TV.
It wasn't a Zenith.
With
Zenith.
A modern remote.
It wasn't a Zenith.
Anyway, I'm flipping through the fucking God. This story. I'm flipping through the channels.
Yes.
And what pops up on the screen?
The Westminster Dog Show.
No.
Oh.
But a part of Sesame Street. Where William Wegman, the famous Weimaraner owner and trainer, would position his dogs in either number positions, so there'd be 3 Weimaraners looking like a 12, you know, a number 12 or a number 10 or whatever. William Wegman, don't crash our system, Daniel. I see you looking up something on, you're flashing your Google, and this is just, and then I won't be able to hear you, and you'll freeze, and my ass will get exposed to the elements, whatever the fuck that means.
He dresses them up.
Yeah, well, he does a lot of stuff. But anyway, that was the very, very first time in flipping through the channels that I saw a Weimaraner. And to me, that was the most beautiful dog I had ever seen in my life.
Oh.
The most beautiful animal I had ever seen. And from that moment on, I said to myself,
Self,
if we ever get a dog, and my husband was saying, you know, he doesn't really talk like that, but it's fun. You know, since we have a home, the greatest burglar deterrent is to have a dog. So I said, Drew, why are you talking like that? And he said, I don't know. I just said it sounded fun. And so we decided to indeed get a dog. And our first together dog was Hooney.
Hooney.
Named after a nonsense word that my mother used when she couldn't think of what something was called. So she'd say, Scott, would you bring me the Hooney?
The Hooney.
Hooney, because a Hooney could be anything. It could be a glass of water. It could be, you know, a curling iron. It could be anything. It was a Hooney. And when we took Hooney, our brand new puppy, to see my whack attack of a mother who literally had been using the word Hooney for since my childhood. I am not kidding you. Since my childhood, when I could first understand words, I heard her calling things, bring me the hoonie. Get the hoonie. I need the hoonie. We said, Ma, you know what we named her? She said, what? So we said, hoonie, Mom, hoonie. And she said, honey? Mom, your word. What word? Mom, literally, hoonie, Mom, hoonie. Hoonie? Do I say that? Oh, my Christing fuck. Fucking shit. For 50 years at that point in my life, for 50-some years, I had been hearing her say hoonie. The woman did not realize that she said hoonie for everything. So anyway, hoonie was Drew's and my first dog. We adored her, cherished her, and we also found out the good points and the bad points of Weimaraners. And while the good points are numerous, the bad points are troubling.
So, in case you're curious,
yes,
you can look this up after the show. His YouTube channel is Wegman World.
I believe that I have seen it. We also have a Christmas show that is all of his dogs are dressed up.
Aww.
And making like little coffee cakes and
so it
Christmas
seems to me
cookies.
Like looking at the Weimaraner picture here, as well as having experienced your dogs before.
Yes.
Seems to me that the downsides of a Weimaraner are very similar to those of a Dalmatian in that their tails are solid bone and that they're right at the right amount of height to just knock things off of anything when they like wag their tails.
The Dalmatian and the Vizsla are almost identical to the Weimaraner in configuration, but not color. Mm-hmm. Weimaraner's tails are docked when they are puppies. If I had my way, they wouldn't be. But we didn't get them when they were puppies. We got them afterwards. But they dock the tail. So, and they do that because Weimaraners are supposed to be hunting dogs, and they don't want that going through the brush and flapping around and all that stuff.
Yeah, Dalmatians are herding dogs. So that's why they always had them at fire stations, because they would herd the horses. Like they would keep the horses in line around fires.
I'm sorry, I dozed off again. What were you saying? It's all right. Anyway, yeah, so your question, why do I love the breed? I love the breed because they are attached to us at the hip. They don't want to be away from us. They want to be next to us.
Are they in the hound family? Because that sounds very houndish.
They may be a hound. I know that they're considered, like with Westminster, they're considered a sporting dog,
okay.
Which is, the irony of that is hysterical since I never get off the couch. And the dogs are always looking at us and saying, you know, we are sporting, sporting. That means movings and stuff, you know, a little bit of movement, please.
I can literally see Eunice asleep back there right now.
So I know. Drew calls her my practical nurse. So she's always, you know, making sure that my vital signs are okay. And she takes care of me all day long. She literally hangs with me all day long. Howard is up and down. He comes up and he looks to see where everybody is and then goes back down again and comes back up again. But she's always with me. What was said?
You answered the question, Jeff.
Yeah, what do I love about them? They're gorgeous and they love us. And there are pains in the ass parts, but we won't delve into the pains in the ass part, including the fact, let me tell a little story.
Oh.
On Howard's birthday, or his whelp day, because puppies are whelped.
I didn't know that.
Whelp. W-H-E-L-P. Whelp. I think it's W-H-E-L-P. Anyway.
It's like one of those things. That goes, dun, dun, dun. Elp. Whelp.
Are you singing again?
No, that's from the electric company.
I told you last week on show number 9 that those shows were, I was too old for those shows.
Well, but now we're on show 10. We're in a whole new ball game. So I just thought I'd bring it up again.
Sorry, take me out to the crowd.
One of them would start a W.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if we ever come back. It's root for the... Okay.
He doesn't score on length. You know that, right? You could have truncated that down.
Yeah, we were talking about... What? What? Dogs?
I have no idea. We were talking about dogs and...
I wanted to tell the story of Howard's whelp day.
Yes.
On his actual day, Eunice constantly has a bad stomach. Something she'll go like in the morning and she won't eat, and her stomach will growl and be crazy all day long, and maybe she'll eat at night. She's just had stomach problems. We've had to change foods for her. We've had to do all kinds of shit. Howard is like, Howard will eat a brick and he's fine. Well, he decided on his 10th birthday that he was going to get sick, and we did not realize that he went into Drew's office and threw up, not in one place, but all over Drew's office. And it's carpeted in there. All over Drew's office. He threw up everywhere. So it sat there overnight. Okay? I don't know if you've ever smelled dog puke. I don't know what it's... And I'm talking a lot again, Daniel, so you got to have a subject that you can talk about. I don't know what it is about dog puke, but dog puke is... Anyway, so much so, you know, Drew is at it with Nature's Miracle and cleaning it up and trying to do all that shit, and it still reeks, and he has to be down there working, so he's trapped in that office. But we have to get now, we're having a professional carpet cleaner come in, because that's how bad it is.
Well, that's his birthday present. So Howard's 10th birthday present is
was throwing up all over Drew's office, and we never ate, and he was... Cleaner. We don't know why he got sick or what caused him to be, but he's fine now. He's eating and running and playing and asking to go outside and play. Sporting dog.
He's a sporting dog.
Sporting.
I have cats who are not sporting at all. They're basically just feed monsters. Like they just want food.
They have their charm.
I adore them.
I told you that we had cats too. That was our first pets. Drew's and my first pets was, as I spoke before, Norton, who adopted us, and then we went and adopted Blanche Duclaw, the bitch cunt from hell. Sorry for the C word.
That's right. We adopted Buzzy. Well, not we. Well, I both of these cats predate Zach, so I adopted
Well, pretty
Buzzy.
Much everything predates Zach because he's...
He's so young. He's 33.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
He's not that young. So I adopted Buzzy, and I also am guessing at his age. So I know that he's lived with me for 21 years, and when I got him, he was not a newborn. So he was probably about 9 months old. He came from the Humane Society. And then Princess, our other cat, showed up on top of our house in St. Petersburg. She was a stray that just showed up on top of our house, and my husband at the time liked to drink, and he thought it would be very cute to feed the cat. And I'm like, if you feed it, the cat will come back. That you now own a cat. Before you put that bowl of food out there, realize that that now means that that cat is going to come back.
Yes,
all the time.
And you named the poor thing Princess.
Princess.
You know, that's like a name your dad would come up with.
I'm genetically related to my father, and clearly Princess. I've inherited the bad... So
Buzzy's cool.
Well,
Buzzy's
now
cool.
Buzzy... Buzzy was named because my cat before that, who died of old age, her name was Jemison. And so I wanted to keep it in the astronaut milieu. Is that what it is? Milieu?
That'll work.
So the first African-American female astronaut was Dr. Mae Jemison, and she was a solid black cat. It was gorgeous. And so I named her Jemison. And so Buzzy is actually named for Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Aldrin.
Or Buzz Aldrin. One of the two. To infinity and beyond. To the cat box and beyond.
To infinity and Actifed.
And the litter box.
Didn't he have... Wasn't he the one who's like, I'm Walter, I'm Buzz... Aldrin, and I had a cold in my spacesuit, and I took Actifed to keep me from dying.
I don't know if that was Buzz or Neil.
No, it wasn't Neil. Neil never did... he was not a very good public speaker, and he never really did... Like, of the three Apollo astronauts, you know, Michael Collins, Buzz Aldrin, and Neil Armstrong, Buzz was the only one that ever... You know, he went on to be a fucking senator, right? Congressman, senator, something.
I believe so.
I'm sure someone will tell me if I'm wrong. By the way, speaking of being wrong, do you have any music? Like, you want to like hum a little tune? Like, what if we? It's called retraction. The podcast now like to issue a retraction. We need give me a little retraction ditty.
Okay, how about this? This is a happy little ditty. I know the music isn't pretty. You know the words are not so witty. Anyone can sing this song.
Okay, but it doesn't say that I said something wrong and I now have to retract it.
Okay.
Okay, great. Hey.
Now you have to retract what you said. Now it's time to retract what you said.
Apparently on episode 9, oh, so many years ago,
God,
back when
how
we were
long
nine,
ago was that? Holy crap, that was a long time ago. My great uncle Walter wrote that song.
Number 9.
For Shirley Temple.
Oh. Well, that's right. He was a lyricist.
He was a lyricist, and he also did a few scripts as well, but he was a really lauded, respected lyricist and a big queen.
Well, speaking of big queens, I said on the episode number 9, I was telling you where the word posh came from.
Yes, I knew you were wrong, but I didn't want to say anything at the time because I was talking so much, and how many times can I correct you?
One of our listeners sent in an email that says, well, you nearly had it, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
While posh did come from port out starboard home, it had nothing to do with soot from the boilers and engines. Now, here's the thing.
Yes. And that was R.T. Cruiser, by the way.
That was R.T. Cruiser. I'll finish his email in a second.
Oh, all right.
But the thing is, I mean, I didn't make that up. I had heard it somewhere. So, from one of those god-awful Hitler Channel documentaries, right? So I've been trying to find where exactly
Hitler has a channel.
Yeah. Well, it used to be called the History Channel, but then they got to the point where they were just always playing things about Hitler, so we just call it the Hitler Channel.
Oh.
So he says, on transatlantic, I'm reading now from his email.
Okay.
Again. On transatlantic trips from England and Europe.
I'm doing teletype.
Port out would mean you were on the left side of the ship or the side facing south that got natural direct sunlight. Also away from the prevailing winds. While starboard, that was me inserting something.
I know.
While starboard home would also give you the same benefit. Obviously, this only applied to the people in first or second class, and steerage would have been lucky to have a porthole. So it's, I think it's the same thing. I don't think what he's saying negates what I'm saying.
It matter?
It doesn't matter. But the point is that the word posh, we can all agree, Scott, the word posh comes from
means
port outward starboard home. That's,
there you go.
That's the important part.
There you have it. The other thing, this is another retraction. You have to talk about Peter Mancini because his real name is Henry, not Peter. Ooh.
All right, now, Nari, first of all, no one listening to this, very few people listening to this podcast are going to even know where I said Peter Mancini because I think I either said it on Mix Minus or I said it on my YouTube channel.
No, you said it here.
Did I?
Yes, with me.
Oh. I thought
you were talking about another. I've forgotten the song we were talking about.
Oh, and you didn't correct me at the time? Well, then that doesn't count. No, you don't. You're not allowed to like go and look things up.
I truly didn't hear it. Had I heard Peter Mancini, I would have said, no, it's Henry, but that's all right. I mean, you know.
All right, let's play. Let's play a little game. Name a Henry Mancini song.
The theme from the Pink Panther.
All right. Now let me name one. We're going to go until we can't name one anymore.
Okay.
The Baby Elephant Walk.
Henry Mancini, Baby Elephant Walk. I know that that's the Baby Elephant Walk, Daniel, but
yes, it is a Henry Mancini song. You'll just have to take my word.
Son of a bitch. Okay. Moon River.
The theme to Peter Gunn.
You are looking at a list.
I was going to check for the Baby Elephant. No, I knew all this because that's, by the way, I'm now at the end of the knowledge that I
Yeah, because Peter Mancini is one of your favorite composers.
I love Peter Mancini. He is the best. No, Henry Mancini. Yes, okay, fine. I said something wrong.
Okay, fine.
Speaking of saying something wrong.
Yes.
It has not escaped my attention.
Oh.
That on Facebike.
On what?
The Facebike. Isn't that
Facebike.
Is that what they call that?
That's what the kids call it.
The kids call it the Facebike because it's cool. That you have posted numerous times that we should not say anything bad or anything. I don't want to say bad. We should not
disparage
the any of the Democratic candidates, because this goes back to the time when there were a bunch of candidates.
Yes.
And it seems, and maybe, and so this is me asking you, because it seemed like you were very angry about that, and because you used F-bombs around it and whatnot, and you seemed very, very agitated.
You mean I was adamant about something?
Very,
me?
Yes. And it was like,
calm, cool, collected.
Oh, it's like,
well,
oh, I don't want to. It's like the third rail there. It's like, we don't talk about that. All right. So of course now here I am poking the third rail. I'm curious because this fascinates me, because I understand the sentiment. I completely understand the sentiment. It is a PTSD of Trump being president, and it is this fear that many Democrats are feeling right now of, holy fuck, what if he wins again? Like,
yeah.
This is not something that can be allowed to happen. And so I, while I understand where your sentiment comes from, I feel like it's possible to not. In fact, it is probably preferable to not agree with a candidate on every single issue.
That's totally different than what I said.
No, but I'm saying, like, so, and to be able to voice disagreements with it, as long as you're not saying, like, I'm not voting for him because.
No, I can stop you because I know where you're going, and I can answer this very clearly.
Okay.
It is not the time at all for any form of discourse or civility or conversation. We are at war with an orange shit stain that is currently holding the office of President of the United States. And if we don't keep our weapons poised and ready, we're going to suffer 4 more years. And I cannot imagine what will happen to this country with 4 more years of that pile of shit. The reason that I said do not disparage Democratic, and I still hold this to be true, if you don't agree, don't say anything. If you feel that you'd rather have somebody else as a Democratic candidate, don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Let me finish.
Okay.
You do not have to say, I agree. I think Biden's wonderful. I think he's perfect. But don't, I just read something and it just frosted my ass. This Democrat's going to vote for this woman I've never heard of before. I don't know who she is or what platform she's running on. I'm going to vote for her because I don't want, and it was about the Biden is okay with fracking. I don't want poisoning Biden or the trash Trump to be the president. I'm not going to vote for either one of those people. I'm going to vote for so-and-so. And I want to say to this moron, because that's what you are if you don't get this. You're a moron. If you don't vote for the person who is running against that piece of orange shit, you are throwing your vote away, and you are complicit in putting him back in office. That, to me, goes without saying. This is not a time for discourse. This is not a time for,
well, you know, Biden's for fracking, and I really wanted, Bernie Sanders, and so I'm not going to vote.
Fuck.
Oh, but those are, all right, but those are different things. Like, I get that, and I understand I'm not going to vote, or I'm voting for someone else, or I get that. Those, fair game, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and you're right, that's being stupid. However, I would counter with, that person was probably never going to vote for it. They're saying things just to stir the pot, and they were never going to vote for it. It didn't matter who the Democratic candidate was, they were never going to vote for a Democratic candidate. But what I guess I still feel that there's room in there to say,
not now. There is no room for it now. That's my point.
But that's my point. Is I'm trying to make is this is exactly the time we're setting the platform for the Democratic. That's what the whole convention thing was about, was setting the platform. So making it known that I am for universal health care, which is something that is not necessarily in the Democratic platform. I still want my voice as a Democrat, as a voting Democrat, and I will vote for the Democratic candidate. But as a voting Democrat, I want that to be known that I would very much like, hello, please, I would very much like universal health care on the platform. That is what I would like to see on the platform coming up. So
then when Mr. Biden is in office, you can plaster that all over Facebook.
So,
here's the concept, and it's a very, very simple one. Now is not the time to disparage anything that is against that piece of orange shit.
Okay.
It's not the time for conversation. It's not the time for, gee, I wish Biden did this and that and this. Because somebody is going to read that, gee, I wish Biden would do this and this and this, and go, you mean Biden doesn't want to do this? No, I'm just going to stay home. Even if that doesn't happen, the negativity, we do not need any negativity surrounding the people that are running against the orange piece of shit. Not now. Afterwards, hey, go for it. And I believe in free speech. I believe that you can actually say, Jesus Christ, I'm glad that the orange shit stain's not in office, but Biden's not doing any better. Biden's not doing this. Biden's not doing that. Go for it. Plaster it all over your social medias if you want to. But not now. Not before the election. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
With some passion.
Okay. And we can agree to disagree on that, and that's fine. And I'm not going to disparage any candidate.
I never agree to disagree.
I'm not
ever
going to disparage a candidate on this program at this point. However, what I will say is there are shortages right now in poll workers, and also there are people that may not be registered to vote, or you may not, if you're planning on doing a mail-in ballot, you may not have checked with your state now to get those things. So I am encouraging you, dear listener, if you would like to be involved in this election and help out with this election, go to vote.org. Make sure that you check your state, see when your deadlines are, when you need to apply for mail-in ballots. Make sure that you are set up for that. Or if you're planning on going to the polls on November 3rd, make sure that you are ready for that and you have your mask set and that you are, you know, you're willing to take those risks and make sure that you know where your polling place is. There's a nationwide poll shortage right now, a poll worker shortage. So several voting locations may be closed. They may be consolidating them because they don't have enough workers. By the way, you can also volunteer to be a poll worker in almost every state. Right now, you can still volunteer to be a poll worker in November. It is a paying gig. You will get you get some money for it. Not much, but
do you need a G-string?
No. You do not.
You can work the poll naked?
Yes. It's preferable that you work it naked, but with a mask.
Oh, okay.
But you can be a poll worker. You can volunteer to be a poll worker. I did that here in Hillsborough County. There's a very short, I won't say short. There's some training that you have to
average
go through that takes several hours to go through it and take some tests to make sure that you understand what campaigning looks like so that you can, you know, because you're not allowed to campaign within 100 feet of a polling site. You know, just things like that you have to know to be a poll worker. But other than that, they pay you, I think it's like $10 an hour. You're there for 12 hours a day. So it's $120 for you to go down and help work the polls. So, you know, if it's something that you can do, then do it.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain.
Okay, all right. Well, yes. I mean, now I don't want to end the show now because it feels like I was just like preaching and
no, you weren't preaching. What you were saying is right on. Okay. We need to activate. We need to be active and activate and get out there and do it. No matter who.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you know, someone I used to listen to on the radio back when talk radio was something that I listened to a lot, Tom Hartman used to say all the time that, you know, if you're unhappy with the platform of your party, if it is so easy to get involved, it is so easy to, it's like the Democratic Party is not like some weird monolithic thing. It's a bunch of volunteers that spend their time doing these things. You can go to your local Democratic Party office, volunteer your time, and as long as you...
Now you're getting preachy, Daniel.
No, but what I'm saying is that
no,
you can help control. You can help like set
you're
these
just
policies.
Being preachy.
Yeah, I am. I'm being preachy.
Praise the Lord.
That's annoying.
Don't get me started.
What,
honey?
I forgot that you're an atheist.
Yes.
Oh, well, then we have to. All right, so we have to on a show soon.
Yes,
we need to talk because I'm, you know, I do another podcast with a Christian. So
I have Mix Minus.
I
do with Adam Burns.
I have to temper my feelings on some of those things and not say things, you know, because he's a very good friend of mine, and I do not, you know, I hold nothing against him for being religious, but there are things that religion does that I find to be absolutely stupid. And but we can talk about that. Oh, we should do that. Let's talk about how stupid religion is.
Well, let's put it in the Trello.
We'll put it on the Trello and we'll talk about it next week. Do you have anything else you want to talk about today?
No, do we have time?
There's always time.
What's on the Trello?
I don't know.
We can look. While Daniel's looking at the Trello, we have an opportunity to talk about voting. Get out. Vote. Vote blue no matter who. Vote, 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 vote.
Yeah, no, there's nothing really on here.
Okay.
So you know what? We'll regroup and we'll talk about it next week.
I like that idea. Daniel, it's been swell.
It's been just ducky.
Now's the time to say goodbye.
Again, music, music, music. You can't sing at the end of the show.
I can do any goddamn thing I want. This is half my show, and I'm going to sing on my half of it. To all our family, M-I-C, fuck your mama. K-E-Y, suck your daddy.
All right, now, M-O- wait, whoa. M-I-C, see you next week. You can't just like change the word. They said see you next week because they said C. M-I-C, see you next week.
Right.
K-E-Y, why? But you can't just change it to fuck you and fuck your mama.
Why? Are there written down, are those rules written down somewhere?
Yes, Daniel? Absolutely.
Where? Show me the rules. Were you trying to Google it?
No, I wasn't trying to Google it. Rules of lyricists.
Society says you cannot sing the Mickey Mouse theme without saying see you real soon.
No, I'm just saying you have to start it with C.
M-I-C, cunt, cunt, cunt.
No, M-I-C-C, you're a jackass. K-E-Y-Y, why? Because you didn't understand what I was saying. M-O-U-S-C.
I don't like that song. That's a mean song.
Goodbye, Scott.
Goodbye, Daniel.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you would like to contact the show, you can email us. contact@thatdarnelvis.com or send us a voicemail by going to voicemail.thatdarnelvis.com. You can always find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. On Twitter, Scott is @AuntieVera and Daniel is @DanielBrewer.
Remember, piracy is not a victimless crime.
Thank you.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 40 Fuck Me Whole. Go to pride48.com.